welcome to the Best View in Town podcast with Nathan Wesley Smith and friends, where we help you gain a more hope-filled perspective, tap into your purpose, and find encouragement in whatever you're walking through. I'm Justin Porter, and I'm here today with my friend Nathan. Nathan, I know that you are super excited this week because you got to sit down with one of your closest friends. Tell us about it.
Dude, I got to go to Nashville, Tennessee, and spend a few days with my buddy Mike Weaver of the band Big Daddy Weave. Some people will be familiar with that band. It's just so awesome, man, that after all these years they've been doing this. Justin, you've met Mike before.
Mike Weaver, Big Daddy Weave, are legendary. Once upon a time, I was on a venture to become a Christian music artist.
I remember this.
I was recording demo tapes and back when we were doing CDs.
Yes,
I remember
sir.
Paying like thousands of dollars for CDs, Nathan, and I didn't sell any. I was giving one to everybody. I was going, mailing them to Toby Mac's A&R department.
Yeah,
So, you know, I had the opportunity to pick up Mike Weaver from his hotel and drive 30 minutes. I don't know if it was to the airport or to a church, but I remember, and I was so nervous. I'm like, here's this legend. Big Daddy Weave, and I remember he was so cool, man.
Did you give him a demo tape? Tell the truth.
I did not give him a demo tape.
Okay, see, good for you.
I felt like, because you're my friend, I felt like that might have been crossing the line. Mike, so I've got this demo tape.
Oh,
would
man.
You listen to, I know you're busy, but if you listen, and, you know, maybe.
Not only is Mike my best friend in the world, God has used him in such an incredible way through the songs that he's written, and many people would know them in Christ, Audience of One, Redeemed, a major one, The Only Name, and so many more. But what a lot of people maybe wouldn't know, because they just know his music, they wouldn't know the heart he has just for people to walk in freedom. Just that he gets to share a bit on some of those things today is exciting for me. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, well, I know we're all so excited to hear this conversation. So let's go now and listen to a conversation between Nathan and Mike Weaver of Big Daddy Weave.
This might be my favorite thing so far. I'm here with my best friend in the whole world, Mike Weaver. I'm at your kitchen table.
This is it, man.
And
this is the place.
And I'm loving it, dude. I'm loving it. Mike Weaver, dude, I feel like you don't need much introduction, but there is the possibility that one or two people in the world have not heard some of your music or have been exposed to the band Big Daddy Weave. But bro, 20 plus years. I mean, we're almost like, let's talk about that for a second.
You were there for the beginning, right?
Man.
So on the campus of the University of Mobile in little Mobile, Alabama, you know, we were college roommates. And what do you call those things we were like living in?
It was, they called them cottages, which didn't feel very masculine. I'm just going to be honest with you.
But it was so, it was such a special time for me because, dude, when we came to like the campus to go to college there, I was so freaked out all the time. Like I just didn't want to, I didn't want to know anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. So for you growing up in the United Methodist Church, me growing up in the United Methodist Church, and kind of, I had actually heard of you before we were roommates, and it was like God had just put this thing together, and it was such a special time, and it's been now like 20 plus years of that, man. You know,
it's so unbelievable, man. And you think back, I didn't particularly want to go to school. Mm-hmm. You did not want to go to school.
There's no doubt about it. Like there was no, it was like no guesswork. It was like, this, I do not want to do
this. And you made that clear, but here's the cool thing, man. Like for such a time, we literally were there for a year.
Yeah.
And then you start this band.
I was majoring in drop ads.
And I went and helped start a church in Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, Alabama. So if you really boil it down, it's like a 9-month window.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's crazy to think about.
Seriously.
It seemed like so much more. It was so impactful in my life.
Me too.
That it seemed like so much more. Right.
And you know, 23 years later, we're still doing this as friends.
Yeah.
We were playing some music together. I was doing some stuff. You were doing some stuff. You guys get this band together. Some guys that I'd actually known too.
Yeah.
Like I knew Germ and Jeff before I knew you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And JoJo, you know, I mean, JoJo and I played together some. And, and so then all of a sudden you guys get together on campus and it just starts working,
right,
man.
Yeah. Just leading worship for the students there. And then it's kind of like that never ended, because there's so many ministry students that were on campus there. As they would take churches, they would be like, hey, would you guys come and play at this Disciple Now? Would you come play at this Dinner on the Grounds? Would you come play at this, whatever, every kind of thing that you could, you know, be invited to, then we would get invited to. And we just kind of just kept doing what we were doing. And then the doors and the calls happened from farther away. And we signed a record deal in, I guess it was early 2000s. It was like 2001 or so.
Yeah.
And then we just have been doing it ever since. I sort of have this feeling like we're going to get caught, and then we're going to have to get a real job or something, because you sort of feel like we are charlatans, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's like, what do you do for a living? Well, you know, and you just, I go and I play music with my friends and we worship the Lord, and then we come back home and then we go do it again. And they're like, that's a job? That's a good, I know. It's like, I promise it's legitimate, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, it's way legitimate, because what you guys have done has had such an impact, and you're not one to talk about this stuff because you downplay it, but it gives me an opportunity. I mean, man, just the reach of the songs that you guys have written. I mean, Mike, many number ones, many things that have touched a lot of people on Christian radio and really around the world, Mike, you know. What is that like to hear that, dude?
You know, I can believe it about somebody else's thing, you know. But that's part of a deep struggle that I've had for a long time, though, you know. And I try to just give glory to the Lord, you know, because every time we hear a story of in the life of someone or whatever, I mean, we really try to celebrate that.
Totally, you know? No question.
And thank you, Jesus, for what you have done.
Yeah.
You know, because I see the fruits of like my menial efforts, you know what I mean? And it's not good. So when it comes back and you realize that it's bigger than you,
wow,
you realize that it's bigger than you.
Totally. And when I say downplay it, I don't mean like you never downplay the impact it has because you're grateful to God. I've seen that. I've seen that in you.
Absolutely.
When I say downplay, I mean you get really, really weird talking about it, because
I know. I'm sorry, but I
kind of love that too. Because here's what I can say with all authority and integrity, knowing you all these years, it's never been about that for you.
Right.
It really hasn't.
That's true.
And I think, Mike, and this is my personal opinion, you can agree or disagree, I think, and maybe this is for me to say, that's part of why God has used you guys for so long doing this.
Wow.
Because it hasn't been about that. It's really been about ministering to people
yeah.
through the gifts that you have, and you happen to be really good at the things that you do, but there's a lot of people that are really good at things they do,
yeah.
and the Lord doesn't smile on it that way.
Wow.
But there's a humility that I really think the Lord's honored. That's just my personal opinion.
You know, and so. I think also for us, my parents, and specifically my dad,
spent
a lot of time on his face on behalf of my brother and I. My brother Jay, you know, of course, plays bass in the group. And man, we run into pockets of things all the time, and we recognize this is something Dad prayed.
Come on,
dude. You know what I mean? And it convicts me, because I'm not the guy that he was in many ways. And I you know, strive to be better at that, man, and to be called to a place of intercession for my kids and for what God's doing in the lives of my family and the world and around me and all of that, you know, because we really saw that we've experienced that in such a tangible way, you know, because of my dad spending hours in his closet on his face for us, you know.
Man, I wish more people, and some who are hearing this will have had the privilege of meeting your folks, but I did, and
yeah.
man, I got yeah. to spend many a day over at the Casa de Weave in the Panhandle of Florida there in Gulf Breeze. Dude, for people that encounter you guys, they don't fully realize, one, how impactful your parents were on you and your brother, but they're seeing your parents every time they encounter you guys.
Yes.
Man, the most hospitable, sweet, really Holy Ghost people, dude.
Yeah.
I had the bitter privilege of being there and being a part of the services when your dad went to heaven, and then recently just when your mom went to heaven.
Yeah.
Mike, those are hard days. They're hard things.
Yeah.
But the way you guys have walked it out with such humility and grace, dude.
Well, I got to tell you, it was so great to have somebody to call too, because man, you're the first person that I called, you know, to just say, hey, I need you, man. And you were there was, you never flinched. You never thought twice. There was like, you just came running, man. It was such a special thing, man. And I drew so much strength, man, from having you there. Cause you, that's what I love about you is that you cannot help but minister. That flows out of you. I mean, you can call you a pastor, you can call you whatever. Really, it's just, it's Nate. Man. It's who you are. You know, it comes out of you wherever you are. And that's why there are so many groups of people who are so excited whenever you're headed their direction. You know what I mean? Man. And we've seen that in Big Daddy. I see all of our guys, the look on their faces when you come in, hey, you know, it's like instantly this uplifting thing. And man, so thank you for being in the life of the, you know, the Weaver family, but then the greater Big Daddy Weave family too, man.
Well, dude, you guys make it easy, and it's a privilege, bro. I'll tell you that, Mike. You know, many people have been impacted by your songs, and rightfully so. What many people maybe would not catch from you if they've only heard your music is really the heart you have to see people walk in freedom, man. Mm. And you wrote about it in your book. Honestly, Mike, you're my friend and we can be nice to each other. I'm just telling you, if I didn't know you, that book is amazing, dude. The openness, the vulnerability with which you share some really deep things from your own life. It's one of my favorite things about you, Mike. I've seen this consistently. You are who you are and you just offer what it is, good, bad, and ugly. And I respect that, man. And I see you very often, very humbly, and especially in your book, dude, and I want to talk about that for a second, sharing just some of that challenge you even mentioned a minute ago, like kind of that feeling, that awkward or feeling. Where does that come from? And maybe share a bit about how the Lord's produced that in you.
I didn't really know how to talk about it for a long time. I was just experiencing the awkward and sort of like giving out the awkward, like I was dealing a game of Uno or whatever, you know what I mean? Draw four, you know, it was like here, awkward, 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 awkward. It was like, and I, you know, I just knew whenever I started going to school when I was young, I just didn't feel like I could belong with any of the other kids. Whenever, you know, I would see somebody else, it's like, I could easily brag on them and I'll be like, man, I want to be them. I wish my life would be more like theirs, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, home was like this haven for me. Yeah. It was this place where I would go escape that. But man, school was like torture for me, like every day. Being the fat kid, you know, was awkward. And I could never rest in my heart while I was there. You know, yeah. I could never be at ease and really put focus on even what we were there to do. I just had there were all these other conversations going on in my mind and these perceptions that were informing me. And it was all rooted in insecurity,
you know,
things that I didn't like about me.
Yeah.
So that made it even weirder to kind of receive a calling to be in front of people. And so it was music. I loved music. I loved being around church music. I never felt like I needed to be in front in church music.
Yep.
But, you know, we had kind of a natural aptitude in that direction, and we'd get included in all kinds of little things. And I remember my mom and dad making my brother and I, like, we'll pay you a quarter each if you sing some praise songs for, you know, our neighbors or whatever, you know, when they come over. And then, that was awkward, you know, because, you know, hey, we're going to sit still and let us sing a song. I don't want to sing to you right now. And there's like,
but I get a quarter.
But I get a quarter, and I know where the gumball machine is. That's already spent in my mind, you know what I mean? Yeah, and it was much later. I mean, we were already like beginning to lead worship and go and, you know, play on the road and all kinds of stuff. When I went to college, I couldn't even stay in a classroom without feeling so out of place that I had to get up and leave. And I would just make an excuse. I would do whatever. I would leave my school books all on the desk and just leave. And because I just couldn't deal with it. It felt like literally something so anxious in me that it was like propelling me out of the door, you know? Mm. Worship was the one place where somehow, you know, the call to put other people's attention on God allowed my insecurity to be accommodated for.
How amazing.
So it's like, you know, we're like, okay, now let's all close our eyes. And then, you know, let's all close our eyes and focus on Jesus. Don't
look at me.
Ignore the man behind the curtain. You know, like,
hey, no attention.
Exactly. And that's when it would happen, though. And that's the time when that insecurity would be put at ease, mm-hmm. was in God's presence as we would worship. I could forget about it then for a while.
How beautiful.
Until the next time they said, well, we want you to play at such and such a time at such and such a place. And it was absolute terror every single night, you know, until you'd get there and do it. And then God would somehow get me through. I got to tell you the truth. There's a lot of that I still feel that same way about,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And my dad said something one time, though, that gave me some encouragement in that. I felt so terrified to go do any number of things. And he said, you know, well, if you know that God called you to do it, he goes, Michael, just go do it scared then. You know,
that is the truth.
And somehow that made enough sense to me. And then it was years and years into playing music and everything else. We had done this thing that was kind of like the Biggest Loser. You know, it was like, you know, so I remember my second son, Zeke, was born. It was the end of 2008.
Yep.
And I remember wanting to do something about my weight and feeling like oh my gosh, this precious little guy, and I've got Eli already, I've got another son already, and it's like I'm just thinking about I want to be here for these kids,
right,
and all this stuff. And so Biggest Loser was a big thing right then. I had a friend who'd lost 80 pounds in 2008, and so I was like, dude, I'm gonna one up you, man. I'm gonna lose 90 pounds in 2009, and we did this very public weight loss journey.
I remember that.
Supposed to lose 90 pounds in a year, and long story short, I made it to 84,
which is absolutely unbelievable.
It is like,
dude,
losing a middle schooler off of your body. Like, you're like, get off of me, kid.
Who wouldn't want to lose a middle schooler?
But the thing is, because I was so dissatisfied on the inside with who I was. Because
it wasn't 90.
So insecure. I didn't meet the mark. It resonated with this thing, which is actually what led to me being able to give a voice to it. Mm-hmm. I hate me. Mm-hmm. I hate me. Mm-hmm. And there was this day when I was so distraught about it, you know, like the worst day I can remember. The way I've said it is I hated myself worse than I could ever remember.
Man,
I was just sitting on the floor of our garage telling God everything I hated about me. I had not been able to say it like that before. And there was this kind of freeing thing about being able to actually say it.
Yeah.
But he quickly interrupted that entire conversation, that entire list of mine, you know? Sometimes we sit around wondering if we can hear Holy Spirit. That's usually not when we're hearing him, right?
Yeah.
It's like, because when he speaks,
you know,
yeah, you know, if you're his, and that's what he says. He goes, my sheep know my voice.
Come on,
right?
Dude. Yes.
And so, which was encouraging to me, because sometimes I spend wondering if I was a sheep. You know what I mean? And
yes,
it's like, I must be yours. I'm certain this is you. There's no way this is not you.
Yeah.
Because it literally halted everything about it. And he said, Michael, you need to let me tell you what I think about you.
Yeah.
For once.
Yes.
And so here I am. I'm ready. Like, this has got to be profound then, you know? This is going to be huge. And this is how he leads. He goes, I like the way that you smile. And I can't even tell you how many times I've told this story, but it still wrecks me to this day. Because when you hear his voice,
that's it.
It changes everything.
That's it.
And in that moment, the fact that he didn't agree with the thing that wanted to constantly destroy me was maybe the most life-giving moment in my life, you know? When he doesn't look at me and agree with what I see and what I'm like, it's obvious, you know? He doesn't look at that. He looks at what he's done for me. He looks at what he put in me. That was the one thing he said. I like the way that you smile. And that was the one thing. If I looked at a picture of myself, because I literally would go out of the way to not see myself in the mirror. I would go out of the way to not see a picture of myself or be in a picture in whatever, you know? But when there would be these pictures that would come back, and I was like, well, I guess I got an okay smile or whatever, you know? And it was even just like, okay, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it connected with that place. And I didn't realize I'd been building this huge, like, you know, defense,
right,
you know, against being able to love myself. I didn't know you were supposed to love yourself.
Wow.
I thought that was a bad thing, honestly. Mm-hmm. They were lovers of themselves. That's not the same thing,
it's
by the way.
It's not the same thing.
Seeing yourself the way that he sees you.
Yes.
That is not being stuck on yourself.
That's just
agreeing with the one who really knows what he's talking about. You know,
Mike, it's powerful for so many reasons. And people who are listening who have their version of this story, because we all have our version of this story. You know, maybe it's not an appearance thing, but there's something in our attitude, or there's something skill-wise that we wish we were better at, or whatever. And the enemy tries to turn our power and authority that God gave us, because mm-hmm. we're made in his image, against ourselves. Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the truth is, he doesn't have any power and authority except that we give it to him. We're the ones that have power and authority because we're made in God's image. He gave us dominion to invite his presence into things. And so the enemy just wants to get us to turn the gun on ourselves, right?
Right. Right.
Which we're more than willing to do
yes.
in so many areas. But man, so many people wouldn't feel the way you felt about you, but it didn't matter.
Right.
Because it was this thing inside of you. And until there's a moment of revelation, didn't matter how many number ones you guys had, didn't yeah. matter how yeah. many people came to a show yeah, or sales yeah. and all those things, nope, which are nope. wonderful, it didn't fulfill that, because only the revelation of the Holy Spirit can unlock our hearts. And man, it sounds like the Lord did that in that moment, man.
Yes.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that, okay, so right there, everything's easy after that. But then you saw something for maybe the first time or in a unique way that was a key towards your freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, Mike, people are listening and they're looking for that. They,
sure.
They may not even fully realize that they need it.
Yeah.
Because maybe they're just in this script of, well, this is just the way it is for me. I'm just a loser, or I'll never be the one who gets picked first for kickball or whatever.
Because
yeah, yeah. we're all, I mean, I don't care how wrinkly your face is. We're all basically kids walking around, you know.
That's really right,
it's
man.
So true,
you know,
dude.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, I asked my dad that one time. I was like, dude, why does stuff that happened so long ago seem to matter so much to me now? And he goes, well, he goes, when it happens when you're little, especially, he said, you know, it gets in the foundation of who you are. He said, if some of those things bugged you now, you know, today,
right?
Like, you know, that was you were initiating the whole thing today. He's like, man, that would maybe seem silly or whatever.
Yeah, you just move past it.
But because you've carried it your entire life, it's in like the DNA of who you are almost, you know?
Yeah, so true.
And God wants to redefine all of that. And I love that, because that is redemption.
That's what it is.
I mean, that's every single person needs that, you know? And we're looking for the fix of that in all kinds of ways. And I think that's the thing that, you know, you see people who are so successful in so many ways, and they've achieved everything, the big list they had for their life, and then they're still jumping out of windows because it didn't do it. It didn't
right.
fix it. It
right.
didn't provide for them what they were looking for it
right.
to be to them,
right.
you know? And so, but when you hear his voice and when you encounter his presence, man, I'm telling you, that changes everything, man.
Mike, you had an experience you share in the book. I read your book, I knew most of the stories, but I read it for myself. Then I read it to my whole family. We sat, and each evening we'd go through a few chapters.
Wow, man.
And
wow.
bro, just it's powerful. And I really, I'm not selling anything. I just want people to get the revelation. The dream you had about Santa Claus, right?
Mm.
I would love to catch a little bit of that for people. Because again, it's just this revelation kindness of the Lord. When your dad went to heaven,
it's on Christmas Day, 2017.
Yeah,
My brother went through some huge health problems in 2016, and man, it was really crazy. He almost lost his life, became a double amputee,
yeah.
had gone through some really dark seasons inwardly,
yeah.
And all this while, my dad is kind of suffering in silence with pulmonary fibrosis. He passes. In 2017, on Christmas morning, leading up to that moment, we had come in contact with a ministry that ministers to wounded veterans.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Operation Restored Warrior. And when my brother was going through these dark inward feelings,
yeah.
kind of even suicidal thoughts, mm-hmm. We cried out to help from Jesus. We said, Jesus, we need your help. We need you to send somebody for Jay. And man, these guys who I had seen in the documentary, I didn't even know it was them. They showed up to the show. I shared that I had seen the ministry,
yeah.
had been so impacted by what they were doing.
Yeah.
I said, can you help my brother? And he said, we'd love to have your brother come. And I said, one condition though, can you also let me come? Let me come and just whatever happened to that guy, I want you guys to pray that over
I
me.
Want that too.
You know, and so we did. We got to go, and it was on the books. And then in the meantime, my dad passed, and it was literally just days after my dad's funeral that we got to go and hang out and experience the ministry of Operation Restored Warrior. We literally just sit and just download what's gone on in our lives, you know, the places where we were hurt, the places where we experienced disappointment or some kind of trauma or some kind of event that became, you know, a core memory of ours or whatever, you know, and even from the youngest times all the way until now, it took like a couple of hours, yeah. You know, and we just began to walk through these things. And man, I'm telling you, it was unlike anything I had experienced in my entire life. I remember even one of my earliest memories was giving away a special gift that I'd been given from my uncle to one of the kids in the neighborhood,
yeah.
because I wanted him to like me. Mm. And he took my gift and he kept it, but he still didn't like me.
Ugh.
And there was this message associated with that wound that said, you're not likable.
Yeah. Nothing you can do can fix that. You're just, there's something wrong with you.
And so we're praying, wow. And Paul goes, hey, well, where's Jesus though in this memory? And I turn around and I see Jesus standing there. Mm. With this giant Santa Claus, you know, bag,
yeah.
you know, like you'd see that he brings all the toys in yeah. the cartoons or whatever.
Right, right.
But on the little white, whatever you call that, trim or okay. whatever on the bag,
yep.
there is written every good thing. So a long time ago when I felt slighted and I felt hurt and I felt unlikable, Jesus is standing there now with me in that moment with a bag that says every good thing. Mm. Jesus is standing there with every good thing. Mm. And I was just able to give that kid the gift. And I saw his life then. I saw some wow. of his life and that he never had parents that
wow.
treated him the way my parents treated me and loved me and mm. were generous to me. And like, he didn't have anything. So he would snatch up anything he could get.
Right.
You know, because he had nothing.
He had nothing.
And man, I just felt sorry for him at that moment.
Wow.
And it was like the Lord healed that moment. And then we literally walked through all of those moments in my life, these moments when I had been wounded and I had, and those wounds began to carry messages into my life that right. I would literally just believe and begin to build things in my life around, you know? And the Lord would just stop and he would minister to every one of those spots, you know, that he was with me in those times, that he was for me in
right.
those times,
right.
that's not his message over my life
exactly.
in those times. You
exactly.
know? And it was just incredible. And then so I didn't understand the whole Santa Claus bag thing until we got to the end. My dad had gone to be with the Lord on Christmas. And I remember all my kids waiting to come get presents, literally, as we had to go follow the ambulance. Mm. You know, and it felt like this great moment of defeat in my life because, man, there was a time in Big Daddy Wee for about 7 years when we just saw Jesus pour out and just do the miraculous
yes.
in a way like I'd never hardly seen. And it was like we just couldn't hear no. And so when I knew that my dad had been diagnosed, I was like, man, God, I know you're going to heal him. I know that you're going to do it. And when it didn't happen, that hurt me so badly.
Yes.
And standing there on Christmas morning with my kids, this special time that we were going to give to them, mm. and just having loss at that moment was an awful, awful event.
Yeah.
And the Lord is so kind that he's given us back Christmas, even in this vision that we're having and even in this ministry time that we're having. And we got to the place where, you know, that literally Paul goes, we just want to look at your heart for a minute. And it was like, there it was. It was my heart. It appeared as like, but it appeared like this little dwelling place. It appeared like this little house. And Jesus walked up to the front door of my heart and he walked inside my heart mm. in this thing.
Mm.
And I saw libraries in there.
Wow.
And the Lord was like, these are songs that you haven't written. These are things that you haven't thought yet, but they're things that are in you, you know?
Oh my goodness.
And then Jesus took the bag that was on his back. This sounds like the craziest thing I know.
That's okay.
But he just like unfurls it and it becomes the inside of my heart. It becomes like the wallpaper of my heart. And I still see the trim around the top that says every good thing.
Every good thing.
And there was just something that was finished, you know, in that moment.
You know, Mike, to someone that might think, they may think that, well, that sounds weird, that sounds strange.
That sounds fantastical or whatever, right?
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
They didn't lose their dad on Christmas.
Yeah.
And the point is, the Lord will meet anybody where they need to be met. if they'll let themselves be open and vulnerable before him. We have so many walls. We try to protect ourselves. Some of it's learned protections through life where we're just trying to cope.
For sure. You know,
and man, God is, he's way more patient and kind with us on those things than we are with ourselves. Oh, man. That is for sure.
Yes.
But if the Lord wanted to use some of these images and pictures in your heart and mind to help you get to a place to realize that all he has for you is every good and perfect gift, well, then amen. And I think there's people listening today that, I mean, in my mind's eye, I see them, they're driving, and there's even tears rolling down their face as they're listening to this. And they know there's things that need to be unlocked in their own heart. Maybe they struggle with self-hatred, or there's been elements in their story that they're just bitter about. And we all understand that. I mean, it's not like we've walked through all this perfectly, and we, you know, my mom went to heaven in October of 2019, we've all navigated difficult things. This pandemic hasn't made it easy on anybody at any level, but the good news is, in the midst of our challenge, there is a place of freedom and hope, and what he has for us is redemption.
That's right.
And it's every good thing. And, you know, the book, you touch on this thing of redemption. And of course, the song that you guys wrote, Redeemed, that not only did it do so well in the music world, I think it did that because it spoke to this need in people's hearts.
Yes, yes.
So, Mike, for the person that doesn't feel redeemed, or they still feel like they're, maybe they even love the Lord. They love the Lord. They just feel stuck. Or they feel imprisoned. They feel like they've been shrunk down into a smaller version of who they're to be because the enemy's just really had his way in their lives in so many areas. Man, what's your encouragement to them today?
Oh, man. You know what? It's this. Taste and see. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every lesser voice, every other voice than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we just command those voices silent so that we can clearly hear the voice of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Father, I just ask right now that you would just speak so clearly what you see, the identity that you have, that you see for each person who would hear your voice right now.
Yes.
God, will you tell them just like you told me, God, what you see?
Yeah.
Tell them how much you love them, God. God, tell them how when you were being punished and you were being wounded and you're giving yourself up, that it was for them. It was because of a great, great love that you have for them. Show them, God, the picture that you see in your heart of them because of what Jesus has done on their behalf. Show them that even right now, God, the word over their life is freedom. Show them right now that the word over their life is Father, your perfect love for them, God. And Father, I just ask that right now, just by way of even just encounter, Lord, that you would just touch them and your healing would just come into their life right now, God. Your restoration would just come into their life right now, God. And old things and old reflexes and all that stuff, that, you know, we would have responded to this old hurt or this old thing was there, that literally in the days to come, we're just going to find out, hey, that's not there anymore. That old mindset or that old, you know, that old wound is not there anymore. Now what's there is brand new. It's brand new because of Jesus, of what you have done and what you have brought. And Father, I just ask that in the days to come and in the moments to come, there would just be a clarity to your voice in their life, Lord, and they would just hear from you, and it would be the most wonderful thing just knowing that they're in a love relationship with the guy who made everything, with the creator of the entire universe. And even as you spoke over creation, it is good that that's what we would hear you say over what you've made in our life and what you've done in our life.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for what you're doing right now, Jesus. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would seal that work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just love you, dude.
Man, that's same,
it,
dude.
That's all I got.
You know, dude, that's it. When we get together, it's I told you, it's delicious and delightful, dude. Delightful and delicious.
Man.
Right. We had breakfast this morning.
It was awesome.
Now we're sitting at the table. We're having this conversation about who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Man, and I'm telling you, it's been a wonderful morning. Thanks for having me on, man.
Oh, man, thank you so much, Mike. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for what you bring.
Nathan, I so appreciate this conversation with you and Mike Weaver. First off, I want to say thank you to Mike for being so open and transparent about so many feelings I think we all struggle with, but rarely we talk about.
Right.
And maybe there's not a great place to do that, but what a place this is here in the Best View in Town podcast. So this thing of self-hatred or self-disgust that we all face at some point is the open place where the Lord gets in, right? And I love the way Mike so clearly talks all throughout the conversation about how I'm broken, but Jesus shows up. I don't think, but God thinks. I see this way, but God shows up and says, no, it's this way.
That's it.
And help us, Lord, today to be open to see what the Lord sees and hear with our ears.
Yeah.
How many times did Jesus say, I thought about it, how many times did Jesus say, those who have ears, let them hear?
Yes.
And I hope we all hear today and are encouraged today that the theme of what I kept hearing through the conversation was Jesus is there.
Yeah.
He was there before. And it's cool to think about that, the way you guys so brought out this idea that I can look back on my story too, not just current.
That's right.
And go, Jesus was there.
Yes.
That can change what's in the foundation of my heart and my mind and soul. And God's doing that work today. And in my future, I can believe with great faith based on a new perspective, right? He was there before. He'll be there again.
Come on.
That's the hope for us all today.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really grateful, and I really believe that God wants to do some serious hard work today through this conversation, Nathan. What are you feeling?
Man, everything you've just said, Justin, and man, Mike is just an open-hearted person. He's a transparent person. He has the courage to offer his story for all of us to listen to.
Yeah.
And it does unlock your heart. It does give you an opportunity to say, man, Lord, I've got doubts or questions or things or parts in my story that I hate or I'm not sure of or I wonder where God was. And the Lord always wants to reveal himself in those things when we invite him in. I mentioned the book in our conversation, and I just want to encourage people. It's called I Am Redeemed. Mm-hmm. And many of you will know his song, Redeemed, which is very much written about this idea. Mm-hmm. Him talking about all I can see is the struggle. Well, wow. So much of it was that struggle he just talked about in his own life. Recognizing the redemption of the Lord, but he shares this and so many other powerful stories in the book. It's fantastic. I really encourage you to get it. I'll also say, you know, Mike's been my best friend for over 20 years. When God brought Mike and I together just to be buddies, man, it has been one of the most life-giving things. And Mike started a podcast last year called In Pursuit, and I was so honored. He invited me to be his first guest on his podcast. So I commend this to you as well, those that are listening. If you've enjoyed The Best View in Town, you will so enjoy listening to Mike share these stories with other people on his podcast, In Pursuit. So go check that out. But at the end of the day, here's what I take away from this conversation and our time here, Justin. The Lord wants to redeem our story. He's always been present. That doesn't mean we've always felt his presence, but he's always been present. He is the master at redeeming what is broken and making it beautiful. Mm. And that's part of having the best view in town. That's part of that hope-filled perspective that only God can give. And for those that are listening today, I hope you will realize that he's for you and not against you. And I hope you know that we are for you as well.
Thanks for joining us for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We want to give a shout out to some great listeners in Sarah Lynn, Alabama. Thanks so much for listening there. And we also want to give a shout out to a listener who left a review recently, Ashes715. Thank you so much for your kind words. It means so much to us. And we release a new episode every single Wednesday. Nathan releases a new blog every Monday. Go to thebestviewintown.com to see those. Be sure to subscribe, and don't forget to check our show notes. We have links with information to the band Big Daddy Weave, Mike's book, I Am Redeemed, and Mike's podcast, In Pursuit. We hope you'll connect with us on social media. Leave a review. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.